Samuel chapter 7, if you would. And we'll spend most of our time on Samuel chapter 8. But and the title of the lesson today, Lord willing, with His help, will be careful what you ask for. You know, we've all in our lives asked for certain things. We thought that maybe a new job would be what we need, or a new vehicle. And, you know, you turn out, you get one, it turns out to be a lemon. You know, 5 years later, they say, that was the worst car ever produced. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Or, you know, something new come along and think you got to have it. And you get it and you find out that it's not all it's cracked up to be. So be careful what you ask for sometimes. And so that's what we'll look at this morning. And it covers, I guess, our children in some respects as we look here and about how we raise them. And the unique way that we raise them gives us as Christians, I guess, a perspective of, if I could say, always being on guard, keeping your guard up all the time. And but also, it also reveals to us that God allows us to make choices as Christians. And He leads us in direction, tries to tell us, but He still allows us to make choices. If that wasn't the case, Christian folks, if you've been saved, you never would get in trouble with anything. You'd always be just perfect. But see, we know we're not perfect. And going back to using a Billy Mitchell phrase, I know he'd said several times, and we've heard before, said, you're preaching perfection. And he'd always say, that's right. We can't reach it in these bodies. But he said, we need to strive for it. But he'd always emphasize, and these are fleshly bodies, you can't. You get in the flesh sometimes. And a lot of that is by our own decisions. Or decisions we make ourselves, see, then afterwards you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, that's the worst thing I could have done. And you realize it after the fact. And so that's what we'll see this morning. And a lot in this little lesson here. I never had thought about that before. But, of course, Samuel here, we'll read chapter 7, just verse 13, kind of let you know where we're at. Of course, there Israel defeats the Philistines. And, of course, we know that Philistines, they've been the enemies of Israel. And of course, it might have been me and Mr. Drizzle and I talking one time. And they're probably a mixed race now. You can't find them. What I mean by mixed race is mixed countries, and might be something different. But he and I talked, you know, you don't hear that term anymore, Philistines. Well, what's a Philistine? Where are they at? You know, it's like non-existent. So did they just disappear? Did they just intermingle with everybody else? And just, you know, be like one day if, for example, like if all the Germans disappeared, you know, what happened to them? Did they just all become part of other European countries and Russia or whatever, you know? And you wonder about the Philistines, too, said they were just not wiped out, or they were always against God's people, or they merged into groups we see today that are still causing Israel problems. And I think about little things like that sometimes, and I just wonder, of course, that's way above my thinking. God knows that, knows where they are, if they're here. But I say that because if you recall in the Bible, let me get back on track, the Philistines in Scripture always gave Israel problems. And just from history in the Bible, and also world history, it's been recorded, and we've mentioned this before, the Philistines, remember, they were barbaric people. They attacked others for gain. You know, they'd be the kind of like the you'd be on the road, I guess, going back and forth to the market, and they'd be the ones that jump you and take your cattle and the money and your earnings and your clothes or whatever. They didn't want to work for it, but they were very advanced as far as their war tools and maneuvers that they would use during a battle. And so very tough to defeat, but that's because they spent all their time on that and all their training. They didn't spend a lot of time on how to grow crops or cattle or how to feed themselves. They just figured that, well, if they can fight everybody or, you know, have the best army, they'd just take it all. And so that was kind of their attitude. So that's why here it's important to see that the Philistines, they've, of course, been defeated. Verse number 7 of chapter 7. And I wanted to read verse number 13. It says, so the Philistines were subdued. They came no more. into the coast of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And so there was peace as far as this warlike tribe. You know, when we talk about, you know, some of David's mighty men, before they became David's mighty men, at times, we can read accounts of where they'd fight. One would fight and kill, you know, several hundred Philistines. And they'd be in the fields where they'd fight. And I go back and read those accounts sometimes, how the Holy Spirit must have been on those men to allow them to do that, to fight and battle against hundreds of men and defeat them. And, of course, they became part of David's group of mighty men. And so it's been going on for quite a time. But here there's peace. But you have to be careful during times of peace as well. And sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for and what you look for, because times got settled down. They weren't worried about the Philistines anymore. They could go out into their fields. That's what I was going to about the battles. They could go out into their fields in peace. Didn't have to worry about being attacked or the Philistines running over the hills and taking all their crops and their cattle and everything, sheep, whatever they had, their livestock. They lived in peace. But we look in chapter 8. Samuel's getting to be a little older. It's a peaceful time. And he says, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and I'll try to get these names as close to correct as I can. The name of his second, Abi. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Now, how many times in life have we seen, just in general and simple example, have we seen maybe a dad, mom start a business, and not saying that's a business, that was a priesthood, but I mean just in general, and turn it over to the kids, children, grandchildren, and something go awry, something go wrong, not, like their heart not be in it, so to speak. Just, you know, not that doesn't always occur, but sometimes you'll see that. I've heard comments even growing up, little hardware stores or something in times past, my dad would say, well, he doesn't run it like his daddy did. And you hear little things like that. Heart's not in it. They don't have any skin in the game. And so that's just a kind of worldly example. But see, Samuel, he walked with God. He'd been close with God. Remember, he took over after Eli. So he knew what could happen when your sons go astray. Well, let's go ahead and look here. Continue to read on. It said, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So be careful what you ask for. Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that brought them up out of Egypt, and even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel told all the works, all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall be reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he would take your daughters to be his confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he would take your fields and your vineyards and of your olive and out of your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men, your asses, and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and he shall be his servants. And he shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." So he's sounding a lot now like the Philistines were. You remember, they had a king over them. They didn't follow or worship God. Go back and read over in chapter 7. You'll also see where the Ark of the Covenant disappeared or didn't disappear. Philistines had it, and boy, they had a time with that ark, and they'd pass it around city to city. And they tried to use their own, magicians or sorcerers, try to say, well, that wasn't the ark that caused the problem, or the ark did cause the problem. You know, they tried to work it into their favor. Go back and read that sometime. That's interesting. But I say that because what you're looking at now is there's been peace in Israel. They haven't had any issues, hadn't had any problems. It told us that there at the end of chapter 7 there in verse 13. Said they ain't had any trouble with Philistines. And life's going on pretty good. But let's begin here to look and see. I'll read these last two verses. "And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city." So be careful what you're asked for, because you're getting ready to get a king. And we're not going to get into chapter 9, but Saul is going to be their king. Let's go back, though, and look as we go through here. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. I'm sure he raised them up in the ways of the Lord. They'd seen his dad. They'd seen their dad work and be a priest. And, of course, the people count on Samuel. They knew he walked with God. And as I look over here, I think it's over in Proverbs here. I'll flip over here real quick. And y'all all know the verse. You've heard it before. We think about it, but I read it differently when I looked at it. Proverbs, don't have to turn. I'll just read it real quick. 22, I believe, 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." In other words, I think Samuel probably followed that. And he tried to train up his child in the way he should go. And I looked at that a little different. I guess train up a child in the way he should go. And I'd never read it that way before. The way he should go. That always just tells us just what we think the direction they should go, the way he should go. But you can also read that and say, what's their natural bent? And what I mean is, what's their lot in life? What does God have planned for them? And as you look at that as a parent now, or a grandparent looking back, you train up a child in the way he should go, and that's true, and by the Scripture. And I think Samuel did that. But your kids are going to have a natural bent to themselves anyway. We see that as kids get older and they get out on their own. They make their own decisions. And sometimes those aren't decisions that you wish that they'd make. And you've trained them up the way they should go, or you think they should go. And we're told in Scripture, and I believe that 100%, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And sometimes I look at that as being old is when they're younger. Let's say, I'm just using for examples, 20s and 30s, they make a lot of bad decisions. But maybe they get through their 40s and get into their 50s, maybe even older into their 60s, and they look back and they think, my dad and mom tried to tell me which way to go. They tried to give me the right direction. They might not say that when they're 25, 26. But it's been very seldom, if ever, I've heard an older man or an older woman, when I'm talking, let's say, over 55, 60, ever look back and say, well, I'll tell you what, worst advice I ever got is from my mom and dad. You don't hear that. Most of the time, they speak in respect to their mom and dad or grandparents. Somebody tried to lead them in the right direction, lead them along the right way. And so as I read that and said, train up a child in the way he should go, I think Samuel probably did that. But the children, and everybody does, you hear we got our own personalities. We make our own decisions. And that's why I couldn't think of another term other than just by natural bent. We've all got our own natural bent to us. or direction we want to go. We've all got our own issues that we deal with. And I'm not talking about physical issues, but just maybe spiritually or decision-making or maybe battles that we have that we struggle with, maybe something the devil knows about us and tries to dangle it in front of us even when you're saved and try to get you off track, keep you from praying, keep you from reading the Bible. And that's easy to happen. In other words, we got that natural bent. But if you've been trained up even as a child in the Word of God, then you know which way to go based on what the Lord leads you. And even if you get off track, so to speak, it says when you're old, and not necessarily you can read that. If you go back and read, and some commentaries say older, you won't depart from it. In other words, you'll know you kind of got out of God's way. And so I think about that sometimes. And I read that to you this morning, not part of the lesson for us here, thinking about how we train our children, but how ourselves were brought up and raised. But also Samuel, I think, put forth the effort into his boys. But see, look here what his boys did. And it's going to cause, you say, oh, that won't cause that big a deal. Well, just from these two boys, Israel is going to, again, be careful what they ask for. Israel's going to have centuries now of problems and issues with these kings. And we'll think about Ahab and Jezebel that come along. I mean, there's going to be wicked, wicked kings. And it all goes back to these two here. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abai, and they were judges in Beersheba. And if you look at where that was at, that was a little further away from where his dad was judge. As they moved away, they were more than a day's journey. So it's not like Samuel could just go down there and check on them. It's all right now, boys. You keep straight now. That's what I want you to do. In other words, they got out on their own. You know, I know kids get out and go to college and go away from school, go away from home. And, you know, it's kind of hard to keep an eye on them sometimes. You don't know exactly what they're into or what they're doing. I remember when I went to school, I wasn't too far from home. At that time, it seemed like it was a long way, but nowadays, you know, it's only about 140 miles. But back then, it seemed like, boy, it was a long, long way. But I remember after the first semester, and we come back after Christmas break, there's a lot of people gone, a lot of empty rooms. I thought, well, I wonder what happened to them. Well, they'd got a little too far from home, and I guess when the grades came out and the parents saw what they were, parents brought them a little bit closer to home, keep a little closer eye on them. And I found out later that's what happened with the majority of them. Parents said, we're not going to pay for this or that, and you make grades that way. And so it wasn't that way, though, per se, with Samuel. He couldn't just check on them daily, but he raised them up in the right way. And his sons, that's how we see in verse number 3, see, they began to depart from the will of God. As we see here in verse number 3, as we read. But see, think about it. I mean, you look at young people, and these were young men. And the same thing had happened to us. Now, not just young people. You say, oh, we're getting on young people. No. You need to think about this too. I mean, there's, you know, people, you know, over 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s, that, you know, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing either. But as we look here, it said, departing from the God's will. Think about Israel was at this time, again, enjoying the fact that they had no war, no battles going on, prosperity. And so we shouldn't be surprised that Israel was worshiping God, but at the same time, they still had that sinful nature about them. So you had these two young men, as we see here, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes and perverted judgment. So even in a time, as we're told here, that's a peaceful time, it's a time that Israel is worshiping God, there's still evil going on. And you say, well, how do you get that from that? Well, had to be. Why would there be somebody wanting to pay off a judge? Why would that's why it says filthy lucre. Why would there, you know, or ill-gotten gain, so to speak. Why would there be somebody wanting to do that? You'd say, well, I don't know. And we see here, it said, and they took bribes. Bribes for what? Decisions they made, comments they made. They weren't following God's plan for them. And it said, perverted judgment. And so as you look there and you see, and especially in their decisions that they were making, they had changed, not the will of God per se, but they were become dishonest. And their justice that was being occurred or judgments being passed were dishonest. And so you say, well, is that unexpected? Well, in a way it is, because you know how they were raised by Samuel. But they had departed from God's will, but also they'd got out in the world on their own. And that's one thing we have to be careful of, is there's no guarantee that our children or ourselves will never make decisions that are not part of God's plan. And as we begin to see, it can snowball into something much larger. And so let's move on here and look and see. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah. And so you get the elders of Israel, and they had noticed this thing that was going on, and this had to be a painful confrontation for Samuel. These men come together, and they have to tell him about his sons. So this is what they've been doing. Said unto him, behold, thou art old. So number one, you know, nobody likes to be told that. They say, Samuel, you're getting to be an old man now. You probably don't notice this anymore. It's probably past you. You're past your days, kind of what they're saying. And thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. In other words, Samuel, you're old and can't rely on you much anymore, and your sons are wicked. This is what they've done. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So I've taken from that, you know, he wasn't as worried about his sons as he was the nation. He loved Israel. And he loved the people. He saw what they'd been through. He'd been through, if you'd look through there, through the first seven chapters and the Battle of the Philistines and what had been done to them. He loved those people. And that's what displeased him the most when they said, give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And when he was praying, what the Lord notices and picks up is that the children of Israel now become self-centered. They've forgotten about God. They've forgotten about what God's done for them. And they're wanting a wish. They're wanting something, not just a wish, but they're wanting, something granted to them. They're wanting the king. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So you think about how the Lord felt as well. And think about this, is you can be on guard and still lose your perspective on things. And you can lose and forget what God's done for you. According to all thy works which they have done since the day that I brought them up and out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So it displeased the Lord too. He knew now they'd become self-centered. They'd forgotten. They'd ignored his word and what he'd done for them. That's what Israel was doing. They had hardened their hearts, and we're going to see that over when we look up later on around verses number 20, 21, 22. They'd hardened their hearts. And their decisions have become self-centered. Not about the nation, what's best for the nation, but what's best for us, and I guess as a nation per se, but they'd all got together and said, well, we need a king. We've got these crooked judges and this other judge that we respect. He's old and don't know how much longer he's going to be around. The Lord said, they don't want me to anymore. That's what he tells us in verse number 7. So they want me out of their lives. But he said, I'm going to tell you this, Samuel. You better show them first. Just like we do when we raise our kids. We try to give them examples. Sometimes your kids are asking you, how do you know that? Well, because that happened to me. And sometimes it's maybe not your kids. Maybe it's somebody younger than you. And they say, you give them a little warning. You say, you better watch that. You say, why? I say, well, they'll get you. You know, sometimes we do that, you know, in a simple example, but we do that with speed traps sometimes, driving. You know, you'll tell somebody something. And I know in John B. Dennis right there, when you come up off Memorial and you're going toward Fort Henry, and right there in that curve, there's just enough of a bend, you can't hardly see around that curve. You can't. You can, but just a brief few seconds that you can't see around it. Well, I tell people all the time, I say, well, you better be careful right there. I said, you want to get a speeding ticket, that's a good place to get it. Because I said, you think it's a long enough straightaway there that you can see him right there around the corner. I said, but about the time you see his back taillight, he's got you. And I said, so you better be careful. And I tell Jesse that all the time and others. And so you try to give advice, I guess, because if you've been caught there yourself, you're saying you better keep it slow through there. That's what the speed limit's 50. You better watch it. And so that's what God, in a way, is doing here. He said, they don't want me anymore. He said, but, he said, I still love them. He said, so you better tell them what they're going to get if they want a king. And you better tell them what we've done, what I've done for them. But this is what they're going to get. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And so what he starts doing here, he says, this is a solemn warning to the nation of Israel. And you say, well, this only affected these folks here. This only affected this generation. No, it didn't either. This affected generation after generation after generation after generation. So sometimes you've got to be careful what you ask for, because, again, we have no guarantee, not only in ourselves but in our children, that we'll always make decisions that fall after God. But we also need to keep in mind that when that happens to not ignore God's word, and also keep our hearts toward God, not to harden our hearts and not to make self-centered decisions. And we won't go back and read all these as we go through. He said, but you'll notice a few of these, and we'll just pick out things. He said, he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, his horsemen. So in other words, he'll take them, he'll use them in his courts. He said, he'll appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50s. And in other words, he'll have great armies. It'll be your sons that'll be out there fighting. He said he'll make himself instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And so he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He said he'll take them out of the home and he'll take them to the kingdom or where he reigns at or whatever city that might be. And he said, take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them and give them to his servants. And as we look down through there, it said he will take a tenth of your seed. He'll even tax you, which you're not taxed now. He said, I take good care of you. The Lord said, why would you want need for these things? And he will take your manservants and maidservants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king which you have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in the day. And that's exactly what happened. Verses 19 and 20, this is where we see they're hardened their hearts. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all nations. Our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So see, you can see over here, as his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, bribery, make money, took bribes, perverted judgment. In other words, changed justice. They didn't follow the law. They got departed from God's will. Should we be surprised by that? Because they're already in a nation which it seems like that's where it's a sinful environment, so to speak. People are corrupt in their heart. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, even here in verses 19 and 20, verses 20 especially, that we may also be like all the nations. In other words, Lord, we don't want you to be our king and reign over us and lead and guide and direct us. But we want to be like all the other nations. And if you read down verses 12 through 18, that's what God's trying to tell them. That's what you're going to be like. And so that's how we're going to be like as Christians and as the church. And I go back to that example, and I was thinking about this Sunday school lesson that the preacher used that Sunday where the plant over there was, I guess, God, or God's word, and the preacher would move, or the church would move, and then he had someone move a little further, and then the church would move a little closer, but didn't want to get too far away from the plant. And that's exactly what Israel's doing, but they took the full leap. In other words, they moved all the way across the room. They got as far away from God as they could because they wanted to be like all the other nations. You know, we came through last Sunday on the way here, and we saw some right over here on the hill here on, Packing House Road. there were some cows. Three of them had their heads stuck through that barbed wire fence about as far as they could go. Maggie said, look at there at those cows. She said, what are they doing? I said, that's where the phrase comes from. The grass looks greener on the other side. And she got tickled about that. She said, I said, see that grass on the side of the road looks awful good to those cows. And I said, but they got the whole field behind them. But I said, that grass right there looks awful good. And I said, they're trying to get it. And see, that's what it was to Israel. Grass looked greener on the other side. And so sometimes even in our lives and decisions we make, the grass can look a lot greener. But we're a lot better off where we're at and standing in God's will. And you say sometimes in your life, say, well, it seems like things aren't going just right for me. And you may, like I said, maybe it's health problems, or maybe it's issues in the family. Maybe it's jobs not going just right. But you know what? You're a whole lot better staying there with God and go God's way than you are to go in after the world. Because, see, much like his, and I'm not getting on Samuel's boys, what they did. I mean, what they did was wrong, and we're told here it was. What I'm saying is, they lived in that environment just like we live in today. And it may be worse today than it was back in the environment they lived in. But then the people, when they saw that, they said, well, you know, that's already, rather than address that issue and address it to Samuel, they went all the way to the point of just get us a king. And God warned them what they were going to get. And so that's where I said to come in and say, God gives us the freedom to make choices and to make decisions. But he wants us to do that within his divine guidelines, within his principles, within God's word. So see, you think about that right here. If those men had came to him, the elders, and said, look, your boys down there are crooked. I'm just paraphrasing. We've got to do something about them. Samuel would have prayed and sought God's will, and they'd have done something about it. But the people took it upon themselves. They made their own decision, but they went outside God's word to do it. You think about that in our lives in school. I think about kids, and I say school, I think about our teenagers and what school they pick or go to college. You think about that in work, where we decide to take a job. Is that in God's will, what we do at our workplace? Think about that even sometimes on vacation, where you may go, wherever the Lord had you go. Oh, you praying about vacation where the Lord, well, you never know. Might keep you out of trouble. You also think about marriage. A lot of prayer needs to go in picking your spouse. That may be the right one. Boy finds the right girl, girl finds the right boy. You think about that. And that's all decisions that we make. And we have freedom to make those choices. But what God wants us to do is make those choices within his divine will. So be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you wish for. Two places over in the New Testament, and we'll be done. We'll close it out for today. Oh, yeah, we'll be done. Many are too early today, as long as I don't just keep on talking. Let's find it here. I thought I had two places I'd thought of. Let's see. Lord gave me this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy, this is Romans chapter 12, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. See, freedom to make choices. Remember his boys, Samuel's boys got down there, and they got into the mainstream type of living, got into the sinful environment that was around. And like I said, we're probably much worse today than they were then. I don't know. So be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In other words, that goes back to that, to be making your decisions and choices. But see, we're taught that as children, and especially as a child of God, you're taught that in the way you should go. And to be on guard. Don't lose your perspective of the things of God. And here we see the freedom to make our choices. And in the last place we look here, and that tells us that right there. It said, may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And if I can find here, over in Ephesians, it's got one verse, I believe it is. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, don't be like Samuel's boys were. And again, they were just human like we are. You know, you can get on them. When I say get on them, you say, oh, look what they did. They shouldn't have done that. And they shouldn't have. But they're human. They were human. Just like we are. Just like our kids are. Just like our grandkids are. Just like our friends and neighbors are. Just like our coworkers are. And they're going to make mistakes. And we are too. But the key thing is we read there in Romans and read there in Ephesians. Remember who's in charge. Remember who our Father is. See, Israel forgot. They had a king already. It was the Lord. But yet they wanted an earthly king, somebody they could see, somebody to rule over them. And then as I look through the Scripture after that, you go back and you look, wicked king after wicked king after wicked king. And occasionally they'd get a good one. Then wicked king, and the people suffered and suffered and suffered. And it goes back, those two boys, and then Samuel. And you say, oh, they couldn't have caused the whole thing. No, it goes back to the people hardening their heart, forgetting what God done for them. As we read there, and we won't go back and read it, how, you know, God reminded them how he brought them out of Egypt. Talked about Pharaoh. How he kept them in the wilderness. They'd forgotten all those things. They wanted something different. So I hope you got something out of that this morning and give you a chance to think on that and got time to visit with one another.